It says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Let's pray. Lord, one more time we're calling upon you. God, that you'd please give me the help that I needed in preaching. Give me the heart that I need to get the message across. Pray, Lord, you get things said the way you want them said. Pray the Holy Spirit of God would have liberty to work in every heart. No stipulations, no reservations, no limitations. May the Holy Ghost of God be able to work. God, work on me first of all. May the Lord Jesus Christ receive honor and glory. We pray with thanksgiving in his name. Amen. Amen. The title of my message this morning is All I Want for Easter. You know, you heard all I want for Christmas is my two front teeth. I didn't need them for Christmas, and I don't need them for Easter. I don't think I will. And I guess if you're looking at you know what a happy camper is all about, you're looking at one. As far as contentment, you're looking at a fella who's content with the church that he pastors. Far more than that. I'm content with my home. Exceptionally so. I'm content with my wife. Very much so. Well, most of the time. But you're looking at somebody that is definitely content in the Lord. Been down the road a while. Seen the Lord work. Seen the Lord come through. Why wouldn't I be? I hope you are too. So when I say all I want for Easter, I'm not talking the area of greed. Not at all. I'm not talking silly things that, you know, come and go. I'm talking in the area of perfection, purity, the past, the privileges. I'm talking about the perfect conscience that's available to all. That's it. That's it. In verse number 16, Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, makes statement. Matter of fact, it's 15. Says, whereof the Holy Ghost allness to us, for after that he had said before, and goes on and says some other things. And when I think of the Holy Ghost of God given witness, I think as far as my desires, that'd be my desire. I would want the Holy Spirit of God to bear witness to the ministry and the message that goes forth from this pulpit and this place. You take in the area of the Holy Spirit of God, if he doesn't bear witness, I don't have anything to offer. I might know how to cross the T's and dot the I's. I don't have nothing to offer. Not going to do you any good. It's not going to get in deeply in your heart where it needs to go. Won't change your life. like it needs to be changed. Holy Ghost of God has got to do something. He's got to bear witness to this ministry and to the ministry of the Word of God. Got to do it. There are some things I say that you'll want to hear. He's got to bear witness to the truth. There are some things that I say that's going to make you feel hard towards me. Unless the Holy Ghost of God bears witness to the truth. If anybody needs a witness of the Holy Spirit of God, I need the witness of the Holy Spirit of God. That's all I desire. I desire God, the Holy Spirit, to put something on you and let you know that I'm not out to hurt you. I want to help you and to bear witness to the truth of the Word of God and commend me to your conscience in the sight of God. I've got to have the Holy Spirit of God bear witness to what I say. I need that. You need the Holy Spirit of God to bear witness to your heart as well. And the Bible says the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit, to our spirit, that we are the children of God. In Romans chapter 8, you need that witness. You need the Holy Spirit of God to bear witness on the inside. I may not have a lot going, but it is well with my soul. I may not have 15 things straightened up I want to get straightened up just yet, but I've got the main thing right. It is well with my soul. So help me, it's well with my soul. You've got to have that right. He's got to bear witness. I can't tell you that. He's got to bear witness to the fact that you have made it right with God and been reconciled to God. You've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. He's got to do that. I can't do it for you. I can instruct you from the Word of God. I can take you from pillar to post, but the Holy Spirit of God, He's got to bear witness. You have as well the Holy Spirit of God to Paul, dealing with Paul and witnessing in every city. Everywhere he went, he couldn't get away from the fact that the Holy Spirit of God was trying to put the brakes on him, say, wait a minute, you go to Jerusalem, it's going to cost you. Paul said, I don't care. I don't count my life dear unto myself. None of that stuff matters to me. All I'm concerned about is finishing my course with joy and testifying the grace of God. That's all I'm concerned about. It doesn't matter to me. Bonds and afflictions abide me. That don't matter. There was a definite witness of the Spirit of God. And you know what you and I need? We need a definite witness of the Spirit of God. For example, if I told you that the Roman Catholic Church was as hypocritical as anybody could be, you don't want to hear that. You don't even want to hear it right here. If I told you that Pope, whatever his name is, Johnny, or whatever his name, that fellow is nothing but a big old hypocrite. The Holy Ghost of God's got to bear witness that we are dealing with one thing, truth and only the truth. That's all. He's got to bear witness to that. If I told you that John Calvin, just like Roman Catholicism, you say that guy can really think. He's a hypocrite too. At least Calvinism, as you know it in five-point Calvinism, whereas, you know, you have the elect getting saved, I say he's just big old hypocrite. Bible says that he's done it for all. Once for all. I say they're a bunch of hypocrites. But if I'm telling you the truth, the Holy Spirit of God's going to let you know that I am telling you the truth. In verse number 10, it says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. You know what Roman Catholicism does? It instructs people to make that offering again and again and again. And every 7 days, offer it again, offer it again, offer it again, offer it again. Bible says once for all, that's it. Why would you offer it again? So when I tell you it's a bunch of hypocrisy, and I tell you the leadership of it, I don't care what kind of advertisement they get in your paper, and try to make you feel like somebody's holy and sanctified, that doesn't make any difference to it. I say, as far as I'm concerned, measured by the Word of God, bunch of hypocrites, that's all they are. And when someone tries to tell you that you're either one of the elect or not, and if you're not one of the elect, you couldn't get saved if you wanted to. I say, equally as bad, a bunch of hypocrisy. And I stand behind it. I stand behind it because of the Word of God. See? You know what I need? I need the witness of the Holy Spirit of God. I need. I'm going to deal with the truth and I'm going to pile it on and put it on you and dish it out. I need the witness of the Holy Spirit of God. I need the wisdom of the Holy Spirit of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Bible says to one, He gives wisdom. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God gives wisdom. The Bible speaks about the wisdom that is from above. That's what I need. I've got to have it. When I'm dealing with a church, I'm dealing with this particular church here, probably 40 families. I'm not dealing with four people or one person. I'm dealing with families. I've got to be wise. I've got to come some ways close to calling shots the right way and being wise. God's got to give me the wisdom to know what to do and what to say and how to direct things around here. God's got to do that. I'm not wise enough to do it. Believe me, when Solomon said, I'm a little child, I don't know how to go out and I don't know how to come in. God, please give me some wisdom. There's a bunch of people out here. Lord, I've got to judge these people. I don't know how to judge these people. Believe me, I need the wisdom just like I need to beg God for wisdom just like He did. And some of y'all, you've got homes you've got to pray about. You as well as myself, you've got to ask God to give you wisdom and make you wise to steer things aright. God's got to do that. God's got to do that. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 11, you're looking at a situation there, and the Bible says, every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. Never. Never. You know what you have in relation to Romanism? You have but a false hope. It's false. Somebody says, well, the priest said, you know, you're forgiven. It doesn't matter what he said. If I told you your sins were forgiven, I would base it on the Word of God. I'd be more correct than what he was. Before I ever said that, I would say it based only on the Word of God. Frank prayed about repentance. Repentance towards God, faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd base it on that and that alone. But you know what people have? People go someplace like that and they come out of it with a false hope. Not a biblical hope. That's a false hope. You know how that kind of thing works? You have some ungodly man giving somebody false hope and then he's got something to hang over their head. And it's been used plenty of times. Plenty of times. It's been used to destroy, blackmail, ruin young ladies. It's been used. When I make statements like that, the Holy Spirit of God, He has got to bear witness to the fact that I am telling you the truth. He's got to do it. I look at verse number 12 and it says, But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, comma, sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. Right hand of God. And all I have to do is change the comma. And I'd be teaching you heresy. They changed the comma. And the comma is after forever. The comma is not after sins. I'll read it like they read it. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, comma, forever sat down at the right hand of God. Is that true? That is not true. One day the Lord Jesus Christ, the blessed Son of God, He's coming back. He's not forever sitting out at the right hand throne of God. He's in there now, and he ever lives to make intercession for us. But one day, Jesus Christ is going to stand. One day, he's going to rise. One day, he's going to rise and shine. One day, he's going to come back in power and great glory. Jesus Christ has come back again. And for me to teach you that he's forever seated and never coming back again, then say, hey, let's you and I run the show. When I should be telling you, you better get right with God, because Jesus Christ is coming back, and he's coming back soon. So when I make a statement, I say a bunch of hypocrites. I say it based on the Word of God, giving somebody a false hope. I say it based on the Word of God, teaching heresy is about all you could call it. That's what it is. He's coming back. I said, based on the Word of God, in verse number 14, the Bible says, for by one, there it is again, one offering he hath perfected forever. I'll take perfection, brother. I'll take it according to the Word of God. I'll take it alongside of hypocrisy any day of the week, alongside of heresy any day of the week. Bible says, perfected forever, them that are sanctified. And the Holy Ghost has got to bear witness to that. He's got to do it. Otherwise, you're going to say, who's he think he is? Otherwise, you're going to say, that guy, he's just too hard. Otherwise, you're going to have feeling hard feelings towards me. You're going to feel hard towards me. Some of y'all, you even going to hate me for what I said. And that's your problem. All I need, and I stick my neck on line for one reason. I am telling you the truth. You need to know the truth. You don't need duped any longer. You don't need fooled any longer. You don't need the shades pulled down any longer. You need the truth right now. You need it. And I'm trusting God, the Holy Spirit, to bear witness to what I said. It's the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and not some false hope given by some priest. That's both the long and the short of it. I need the Holy Ghost to bear witness to what I say. I need the Holy Ghost of God to give wisdom as I try to steer a church, not to destruction, but to greater heights. I need God to help me to speak words easy to be understood. Have you heard what I said? I think you've understood what I said. And Paul said, I want to be a blessing to them and edify them, and I've got to do it by using words that are easy to be understood. Not another language they can't understand. Not big words they don't know what they even mean. Care less. I've got to dish her out so you can't even miss. If you want to miss, you can't miss it. Paul said, I'd rather use 5 words of my understanding that I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. I need to put it out there so you can't possibly miss it, and the Holy Ghost of God can bear witness to the truth. All I want for Easter is for the Holy Ghost of God to be a witness to the messages that are preached from this pulpit. All I want for Easter is what you read in verse number 16. I want my heart, mind, soul, and spirit. You're reading about your heart and mind. I want it filled with the pure Word of God. I want my heart and mind saturated with the Word of God. My heart and mind is not saturated with the Word of God, then my lips and my tongue are not going to utter words of purity or from a pure heart. They're not going to utter words that do you any good. I wouldn't want to corrupt you or yours. I wouldn't want to defile or get anybody dirty. I wouldn't want to be a downer to anybody, and so I know I've got to utter words that are pure. And I'm going to have my heart and mind saturated with the Word of God. You do as well. As far as I'm concerned, the Bible says here, I'll put my laws into their hearts, and that's fine with me. And in their minds, well, that's fine and dandy with me. In their minds, will I write them? That's fine. That's all I'd ask. If you ask me what I want for Easter, I want to be pure inside. I want to be pure. Right here. I want my thought processes to think in the right manner, in the right channel. I need the Holy Spirit of God to do a job. I need the Lord to come on in and to put His Word all over me and all flood my heart and my mind with the Word of God. I need it. I want the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart to be acceptable in Thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. How about yourself? The words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, acceptable to God. That's what we need. Somebody says, all I want is a brand new suit. I need a suit of clothes, man. No, you need a pure heart more than you need a outward suit of clothes. You may need that, and that might be all right, but I'm not belittling that. I'm just saying that more important than that is on the inside. That has to do with your heart, and that has to do with your mind. You take that mind that hasn't been saved. You've got to cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word of God. If you want your mind to be clean, your thoughts to be clean, then you've got to saturate yourself with the Word of God. It must be done. There's no chance outside of the Word of God. That's a principle. He's got to flood you with it. You know what I want? That's what I want. I want God to just flood my heart, mind, and soul with His Word. Say, well, some of it's kind of tough. You know what? That's for my good. Sometimes somebody, you know, is tough with you and they're doing it for your benefit. When God says, no, don't do it. Disaster looms. That's for my benefit. See, that's not because God wants to be mean with me. He's trying to keep me from getting hurt. And I want the Lord to put it on me no matter what. Put it on me. I want the Word of God in my heart. I want a pure heart in the sight of God. My heart is clean the sight of God. I don't have to worry about you. I don't have to worry about the next 10. I need to worry about God. The Bible says there's a promise there. And that promise says, I'll put my laws. Lord, I want you to do it. I'll put my laws into their hearts and their minds. And in their minds will I write them. Last Monday I went down to look at my Bible again. And it was on the workbench. Wasn't no work going on, but it was on the workbench. And so I took the liberty to look at my Bible. And I can't tell you how good it felt. I can't tell you how comforting it was to my heart just to take that Bible and leaf through that Bible and look at that Bible and look at the work that had been done in that Bible and some of the notes in the margin of that Bible. That was just a blessing to my heart. You know what I want? I want that baby on the inside so that if they cut my tongue out, I've still got it in my heart. It's in my heart and in my mind. I've got something that creates to me great joy. And I don't know what it cost because it was given to me. But whatever it cost, I've already passed what it cost. It's a pocket knife. Everybody likes a pocket knife. I like this one so well that I'll take that sometimes I'm reading the Bible and I'll just set that thing right there. I like to look at it. I like to remind myself that the Lord's been mighty good to this fella. I mean, coming from the top of a chimney to standing up here and screaming at you, that's quite a privilege. And redeeming my soul by the blood of Jesus Christ, I love it. I look at this side and I look at those verses there, and that has a picture of the Bible there and says Psalm 109:24, it says, Thy testimonies are my delight and my counselors. And it says Psalm 139:17, it says, How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O Lord, and how great is the sum of them. What would I do if God cut me off? What would I do if God didn't give me nothing? What would I do if I stood up here and God didn't put anything in my heart to say? I have nothing to say. God, you didn't do anything. I need the Lord. I need the thoughts of God, the words of God. There needs to be my delight, my counselor, and I want it deep down in my heart, and I want it in my mind. I want saturated with it. You know what I want for Easter? I want a pure heart and a pure mind, saturated with the Word of God. I take this knife here and I use it for a witness. I carry that thing with me and I'll be out somewhere and I'll be talking to somebody and say, I want to show you something I got. I really like it. And I show it to them, you know, it's small, right? So they got to look at it real. But it says the blood of Jesus Christ, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Art Martin, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's a witness. And the Word of God, that's a witness. I love it. I love it. You know how I feel about it? Lord, load me down. Load me down with the Word of God. I want consumed. I want saturated with the Word of God. You know why? I want God to put His laws into my heart, and in their minds will I write them. You know how I feel about that? Say, Lord, that is just fine. That's fine. God, I need You to bear witness to the words that come out of this mouth. God, I need You to flood my heart and mind with Your Word. Lord, if You do it, I know some of it's going to take some turnarounds. Not going to be easy for me. But God, please do it. Lord, if You do it, that'll be fine with me. I look at verse number 17. It says, their sins and iniquities I remember no more. Now remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. You know what that's saying? He's saying there's going to come a time when this nation that's known for a lot, sin-wise, this nation that's tagged bad, read the book of Hosea, major problem with sin. There's going to come time when the Lord takes this nation and they're born again, and there comes a time when He says their sins and iniquities, they'll be past, they're done. Remission of these is. Remission has to do with that which is back there. Say it in so many words. Their past is history. Say, oh no. Yes, in spite of what they are identified and tagged as, it's history. Past. You know what I'm thankful for? I'm thankful that my past is history. I'm thankful that my sins have been remitted. I'm thankful that God's not even going to remember them anymore. Say, where do they come from? Well, that's not the Lord bringing them back to you. That's another source. That's the devil. And you need to resist the devil. And you need to plead the blood. And you need to quote Scripture. You need to do what Jesus Christ did whenever He was tempted by the devil. You need to do the same thing. It is written. His sins and iniquities I remember no more. They're under the blood. They're forgiven. They're cleansed. They're remitted by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you do that and go on. And all I want for Easter is to be able to show somebody that their past is history. Just like mine. I'd love to be able to show somebody, hey, my friend, look here. Look what God has promised. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful promise? Wow. Sins. Man, that's a blanket thing in general. The whole shot. And iniquities will I remember no more. They've been remitted. They're done. Have no charge against them. We pulled them out of nothing there. The past is history. Say to myself, boy, that's just a wonderful thing. I'm thankful for my side. Yes, it's true. I'm thankful for Israel's side that one day it will be true. And I would sure like to be able to tell somebody else that same story, sweet story. The blessed Son of God loved you, died for you, shed His blood, forgive your sins. Somebody says, I can forgive, but I can't forget. You know, there's such a vast distinction between the Lord and just a man. There's always that big, wide chasm. You take Stephen, he was a good man, outstanding man, the Word of God. He said, Lord Jesus, he said, receive my soul and lay not this sin to their charge. Whereas Jesus said initially, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And last of all, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Wonderful thing for the Lord to be able to look at you and I and say, it's history. It's history. It's gone. They're standing in my eyes. As far as I'm concerned, they're clean. Under the blood, they're clean. Wonderful thing. All I want for Easter is to tell somebody, oh my, to be able to tell somebody that their past is history. All I want for Easter is I want some people that God has saved and have a privilege that is very unique. It's found in verse 19 and verse 20. It's access to the holiest of all to use that privilege. God has given you a privilege that in times past they wouldn't dare go in the holiest of all. God made distinction between the holy place and the holiest. God says you put a veil between that territory there. Nobody goes in but the high priest. He goes in once a year and he can't go in without blood. He'll be a dead duck if he does. I mean, he'll be another Nadab and Abihu. I mean, it'll be all over. You don't mess around with the Lord. Not at all. He'll drop him in the tracks. And you and I say, I wouldn't go in. I wouldn't go past that curtain. I wouldn't go by that veil. I wouldn't try to go through that veil. Oh no, I wouldn't even think about it. I don't want to go in there and die. Thank God the Lord said, you've got that privilege. You can boldly enter the holiest of all by the blood of Jesus. Say, am I sure? We're sure. Because that veil and temple is rent from the top to the bottom. God lets you know the way to heaven now is open. And you don't need to go to any priest. You don't need to come to me. You have access now to the throne of God. And the Bible says you can go boldly to that throne. You know what I want? I want some people that will take that privilege and say, wow, what a privilege. Man, I can't believe. Why do I have that privilege? It's because of the price that's been paid. It's because of the blood that you read about there in verse number 19. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, you've got that privilege. And you have the way into the holiest of all is now open to you, my friend. And you can go to God, and you can beg God, and you can say, God, please, I'm pleading with you. I'm beseeching you. I'm begging you, God. There's great need, not only in my life, not especially in my life, but God, there's some out there. Their need is very great. And God, please come through. God, have mercy. God, would you show yourself to them? God, would you give comfort? God, I'm begging you. I'd like to have for Easter, I'd like to have some people take their privilege and use that privilege and go in and plead with God to give some help to those in need. Last night when we were talking to Mrs. Gipp, she was sort of rational but very nervous. She said yesterday morning when they dropped the bomb, she just came unglued. She said everybody in this, all nurses, doctors to her, I don't know who, but they were all there trying to get her calmed down. Said, I came apart. And that's no sin. That would be not easy to handle. She begged me, would you please ask your people to pray? And the way she said that is like out of anxiety, mean extreme, please. She wants your prayers. There are others out there as well that need Him just as bad. Problem nearly identical. They need your prayers. You know what I want? I want some people to say, thank God I don't have to go to a priest. Thank God I don't have to go to the temple. Thank God I can go anytime and anywhere. Thank God for the privilege I have. And somebody will go in there and earnestly plead in behalf of somebody else. It's your privilege to go. Will you do it? Will you do it? I'm not worried about a suit of clothes, nor are you. I'm not worried about Easter bunny, Easter eggs, or Easter basket, nor are you. But I'll tell you what I want for Easter. I want some people to take that privilege that God has given to go into the holiest of all, boldly beg, plead, earnestly ask God if He wouldn't give help, and claim the promise, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's what we need. That's what we need for Easter. Last of all, there's one more thing. In verse number 1 and 2, the Bible speaks about the conscience. And the Bible says there's chance for somebody to have a perfect conscience. That conscience has got to be purged. And the Bible says they don't have to come. If it's they got a perfect conscience, they don't have to come back year by year. Something's new. Something's brand new. It's not like it was on the Old Testament setup. This time it's new. And the Bible says God take and do something to their conscience. They don't have to come back year by year. You don't have to get saved every year. You don't have to get saved at every revival meeting. It's a matter of getting saved and God purging your conscience from sins and God giving you a perfect conscience towards sin, let you know that it is well with your soul. In verse number 2 it says, for then would they not have ceased to be offered. If you had to do it over and over and over again, it wouldn't cease to have been offered. Because if the worshippers once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. But they did. They did. Every year they say, oh man, I've sinned again. I've got that load of sin on me again. I've got to go to the high priest. He's got to offer for himself and for me again. Just like he did last year, he's got to do it again. He's got to do it again next year. He's going to have to do it year after year. But thank God you and I, we can have that perfect conscience, knowing that it's well with my soul. And when he said it's one time for sins forever, and when he said for but one offering hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, you and I can be very, very thankful that that conscience is a perfect conscience towards God and towards sin. I'd like to have a conscience like the Apostle Paul, where Paul, who was troubled, dealt with in a major way, so much so that Jesus said, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. It was. Ever after, Paul would state time and time again, my conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Speak about having a good conscience towards God and towards. I would want for you for Easter, for myself, I would want a conscience that is perfect towards God, having been purged by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I think of the holiday coming up in a couple of weeks or so, I think to myself, I say, I know what I want. I want perfection, not hypocrisy. I want purity in my heart, mind as well. I want the past to be history for others like it is for myself. I want people that will count it a privilege to go into the holiest of all and plead for someone else. I want others to have a perfect conscience towards God, having had their sins purged by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. All I want for Easter, you say, is that all? That's all. How about yourself? How about your heart? You want it flooded with the Word of God? You want it pure? How about your mind? Doesn't the Bible say think on things that are pure? Things that are lovely? Things that are good? Things that have virtue to them? Doesn't it say that? Yes, it does. And where else would you go? Where could I go? Where could you go but to the Word of God? All I want for Easter. Say, is that all? That's all. Not worried about anything else. All I want is to be able to tell somebody, hey, don't have to confess nothing to me. Tell the Lord. And the past is history. I want to be able to tell somebody, I believe there are a lot of folks that will do some praying for you. Count on some praying. Count on a lot of prayer. I think there are people that will plead and beg God for you. I like to have some people that I know they'll use the privilege they have to plead and beseech and beg in others' behalfs. I like most of all to let somebody know from the Word of God that their conscience can be clean now because their sins are under the blood of Jesus Christ. Is that all? Yep. That's all. That's all I want for Easter, for you and for me. Father, we're thankful now for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the book, Lord. And pray the Holy Ghost of God, give witness that what I said is true. Not trying to draw a rise out of anybody. Make anybody hate me. But God, somewhere along the line, they've got to face the truth. God, I pray that you would bear witness to the Word of God even today. And I pray, Lord, that in the area where something needs to be made history, whoever and wherever, God, may it be put under the blood. May somebody be able to claim that promise today. Sins are gone. They're gone. Never to be brought up. Never to be dug out. Never to be remembered again. God, I pray that you deal with our hearts. Lord, I pray that these Christians, they'd have the same desire that I have with the Bible basis for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.